John chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 21. I was just reflecting upon this morning, and I was talking to Brother John here, how small a world it is as far as the Christian faith is concerned, in many of the same people that we know, such as Brother Lee Turner and Jonathan and his wife Fawn. It's interesting that you said Fawn was your secretary.
Back when she was just a child, she was like 18 years old. Wow.
Indeed, how a small world. Now, you know, many of the same people that I knew, and many of them, a number of them, aren't with us anymore. Dave Reddick and Galen Farnsworth and that. We are living in what I guess we could call strained circumstances right now. Many places are not having services today. Many of them are just doing it online. And we are small enough that praise be to Him, that we can meet together. And we praise Him for that. But many people are taking this thing, I think, way overboard. And of course, we have a lot that we have the media a lot to blame for that. They want to call this a pandemic and that. And a lot of people are rightfully concerned, you know. But many people forget that God is still in control. That there's not, for us, especially as Christians, to fear. And John talks about that in these verses. There's probably, to me, other than maybe, you know, as the president has designated and said that this should be a national day of prayer, other than you could think of 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will heal their land. We could use that passage as well and think about that. But to me, there is probably not a more appropriate scripture passage before us this morning to deal with what we are presently having to deal with, and what is occurring in our state, our country, and the world as a whole than this one. Why do I say that? Because sometimes it's easy for us, even as Christians, to forget about Him and His Son and to give in. To give in to the things that we hear. And to give in to fear, and to give in to anxiety and worry, and that. And the people in John's day, they could have very well done the same thing with what they were dealing with. But John is giving them encouragement, and that's what we need with one another. Is we need to encourage one another. We need that encouragement. And John gives us that. John gives us more encouragement. Just want to read the verses, and then we'll come back and unpack it a little bit. John says here, by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Now I'm going to specifically deal with verses 17 through 21, but I want to return to verses 13 through 16. John gives his readers, his audience, and the church there at Ephesus and where he is at, and he gives us as well, more encouragement by way of the apostles. Now verses 13 through 16, John is referring to himself and the apostolic circle, the apostles, not Christians as a whole. He's talking about, when he uses the we there, he is referring to the apostles. It's parallel with 1 John 3, verse 24. When he says, the one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. It's parallel to the last part of that verse, where he said, we know by this, we, the apostles, we know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And this is a direct parallel to verses 13 through 16 here of 1 John 4. He gives encouragement to his audience and to those in the church at Ephesus and to us today by way of themselves. We should find encouragement by way of the apostles. Why? Because of the source of their message. What he says in verse 13, by this we know, he is saying the apostles. He is giving the encouragement to them and telling them, we know this. It's not something pie in the sky, by and by stuff. He says, we know. He's emphatic about it. He says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. I'm going to unpack that a little more when we look at the Greek words here, because this is important to see. But in verse 13, he gives us encouragement because of the source of their message. It goes back to John, what he wrote in John 15. Specifically verses 26 and 27. When he says, but the helper, the parakletos, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. Now, he's not talking to us today as Christians there. It is not meant for us. He is talking to the apostles. He says, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. He's telling that to the apostles because of what is about to occur. But he's telling them, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you the Parakletos, the one who will come alongside you, the Holy Spirit. And he will teach you all things. Bring to your remembrance everything that I have taught you. Remember, Jesus taught them for 3.5 years. We know how easy it is to forget things, right? After a certain period of time. Well, same thing with the apostles. But Jesus says, I'm going to send you one who will bring to your remembrance everything what Jesus says. Not just some, not just a little bit, but he said, I'm going to give you one that will bring to your remembrance every single thing that I said to you, that I taught you. It's in line with what Jesus said in John 4. We find in John 14, verse 26. Exactly. And within in line with John. Well, I read John 14 instead of John 15. But it's also in line with John 15, 26, 27, when he says, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify also, he said, the apostles, because you have been with me from the beginning. And that goes back up to John 14, verses 26 and 27 that I had read earlier. But I read from John 15. But now it also comes back then, and this is important to see because of the source of their message, comes back to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Well, who's the they? The antecedent to that is found in chapter 1 of Acts. The antecedent to that is the apostles. That's the they. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, the apostles. And there appeared to them tongues as a fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they, the apostles, were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Goes back to that. It's speaking of the apostles. Again, it's the antecedent to what is found in Acts 1, the last part of Acts 1, when it references the apostles. And how else do we know that it was only the apostles that spoke in the tongues there and that the Spirit fell upon them that day? Because of what Peter said in Acts 2:14 and 15. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my word. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only the third hour of the day. And then it goes on and says, are not these men Galileans? It's not in reference to the whole 120. It's just to the apostles. So what John is saying now in 1 John 4 goes back to that. Back to the source of their message. John uses present tenses here for the verb. He is giving the reason why the apostles know. Because it goes back to that. He uses a word, he says, has given us of his Spirit in the perfect tense, meaning it was in the past, it happened one time, but it's got continuing results. And he also uses what we call, when he says he has given us of his Spirit, he also uses what we call a partitive genitive tense here. What he says is he has given us a share of his Spirit. That's what he means here. He has given us a share of his Spirit. What does he mean? Goes back to John 14, 26. He will bring into your remembrance, the Spirit, all that I have taught you, all that I said to you. That's what that's a reference to. John is telling them, count on this. You can be encouraged by this. And then in verse 14, he has given us encouragement here because of the source of their message. Now in verse 14, he gives encouragement because of the content of their message. And he uses an emphatic personal pronoun here when he says we. He said, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The we there is the apostles. That's who he's referring to. He's telling them, you don't have to look at these false teachers. He's saying, you don't have to look at Serentius and these other guys, the Gnostics in them. You don't have to look at these heretics. John is saying, we. And he's talking about apostolic authority here. He says, you look at us. Why? Because of the source of our message and because of the content of our message. We have beheld. Again, he uses a perfect tense which showed it was in the past, it was completed, but the results are ongoing. And he says, we have seen and testified. We bear witness. That the Father has sent the Son. And that's a reference again to the apostles. It's parallel to 1 John verses 1 through 2. Where John said what was from the beginning, what we have heard, the apostles. What we have seen, the apostles. With our eyes, what we have looked at, the apostles. And touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we, the apostles, have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, the apostles. So it's important to see this. But why can they do that? Because it goes back to what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said to the apostles, you shall be my witnesses. Both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He's talking to the apostles. And that's what this is, comes back to. This is what John wants them to know. He wants them to know, you can bank on me, guys. You can count on me. What I am teaching you and what I am saying is right on the mark. It's truth. Why? Because of the source of our message and because of the content of our message. And he is telling them that share of the Spirit we have enables us to do so. It's shades of what he wrote in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The verse that we all know as Christians. John 3:16, where Jesus says, for God so loved the world in such a way that he sent his one and only Son to save the world. that whoever believes in him, continued action, present tense, whoever believes in him, continues to believe in him, will not perish, but will have eternal life. And then he goes on and says, what? For God did not send the Son for what reason? John 3:17. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And that's shade to what Paul wrote in Romans 8:19-22. It's not just talking about saving people in the world. When he's talking about this, it's also what Paul mentions in Romans 8, when all creation groans for the adoption of the sons of God. He saved all his creation. It is through Christ that the creation, not just humans, but all of his creation, is restored back to wholeness. And then he says, he gives encouragement by the way of the apostles here, because of their continued fellowship with God, found in verses 15 and 16. You see, as F.F. Bruce said, the biblical scholar Bruce said, John is not conscience, as many people are today and think there is. John is not conscious of any tension at all between Christian love and Christian truth. There is no tension there. Now, there are some who want to teach that there is a tension between the love and the truth, but there is not. And John is not conscious of any tension there. Neither should we be. Love and truth go together. Not separate. Then notice what he says. Whoever, anyone, in verse 15, confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. What? Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. You confess with your mouth? Right? But there's also, along with that, and John uses what we call an aorist subjunctive here, which means confesses. It's a completed action. A single decisive. It's single and it's decisive. It's like the song we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. It's a decision, an ultimate decision, what he's talking about. So remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But there's something else, you see, that goes along with that. And that is found in what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, what we find recorded in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Goes along with that. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So see, it's not just confessing. It's not just saying, but it's also putting it into action that is important. It's as Brother Gareth Reese said, Confession of the divine sonship of Jesus leads to the mutual indwelling of God and his people. Whoever confesses Jesus is the Son of God, that is the person who has fellowship with God. But along with that comes what? And people want to say, oh, you're talking about works? No. Along with that comes obedience. That's what Jesus is talking about. It's not just enough to confess. One can say, oh, I believe in Jesus, but don't tell me how to live my life. And he better not tell me how to live my life. I'll live it however I want to. You see, you can't divorce that with Jesus. They go together. Yes, confess. But it's also what we do after we confess that is important. And we find that in the end, in Revelation chapter 21. Verses 5 through 7. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But again, these verses refer specifically to the apostles. But they relate to us. And that's why verses 16 through 21 is so important for us. Because now John turns the tables. He goes away from himself and the apostles to us, to Christians. As a whole, brothers and sisters, when we are in Christ, fear is no more. It should be no more. That's why, you know, people can say that, well, you need to have security measures in your church. You know, you need to make sure that somebody's standing out there in the back in case somebody comes in with a gun, what have you, you know, so you can protect people. And that's what they want us to do today. And you pay big bucks, you know, to go through these training sessions that they want. You know. Should we as Christians be thinking that way? See? This disease, this virus that's going on, and there's all kinds of other viruses as well that's going on. Should we be in fear of those things? No. No. Should we be concerned about our health? Yes. But we should not be overcome with fear as Christians. And my message today to Christians as a whole should be, fear's no more, not as Christians. John says, we have come to know and we have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. Brothers and sisters, we have that love through Christ. He does abide in us. And notice what he says in verse 17. By this. And this is an exhortation, by the way. He said, by this, love is perfected with us. It's completed. It's brought to wholeness. So that what? So that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. And then he says in verse 18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out. It does away. It throws it away. Fear. Because fear involves punishment. Talking about, goes back to the day of judgment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. John is trying to encourage us and encouraging the Christians of his day. What he was doing was encouraging them that their new lifestyle, when you become a Christian, you have new life, new creation, and it brings a new lifestyle. And that should bring encouragement to us. And what he says here, it's all about living. It's all about living, and this is what we've got to get to today and think about as far as this virus is concerned and other things. As Christians, it's all about living in the realm of God's love in His Son Jesus. When he says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, and by this, love is perfected in us. What he's saying is, it's made complete, it's made whole. And do we understand that what he is saying here and what John is saying, that's a condition of fellowship with God. I like what Brother Gareth Reese says in regard to this. And John is warning against this. Brother Gareth Reese says, it is possible by belief or lifestyle to depart from the sphere where we are the objects or recipients of God's great love. You can take yourself out of the realm of that. And I believe, brothers and sisters, by getting into fear, say, even in regards to whatever it may be, in regards to this virus, by giving into that fear, we are taking ourselves out of the realm of God's love. Because we have no fear if we're in Him, right? And that's what John is saying. That's why this passage is so appropriate today. John is saying we can, because of that, we can have confidence. No matter what may occur, no matter what may happen, we can have confidence. Why? Because we're in Him. We can have confidence in the outcome, whatever that may be. We can have confidence before the judgment, what John says here. The great message found in verse 18. I like how Orrin Root phrases this, and I want to close with this. Of course, we who love God still fear Him in the sense of regarding Him with reverence and awe. As Brother Root says, there is also a sensible, now get this, and this relates to today, there's also a sensible fear of loss or disaster. As he said, it's what makes us lock our doors at night. It's what makes us drive carefully. It's what makes us take care of our health. And to teach our children to look both ways before they cross the street. You see, perfect love, as Brother Root says, does not end that kind of fear. Just as the fear with this virus. But perfect love does moderate it. He says, such fear is not overwhelming or agonizing. And why is that? Because of what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. May we hold on to this. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So we have nothing to fear. Let us not worry or be anxious about this thing. But if we do fear and have that worry, may it be moderated by the fact that we have His love, that we live in within His sphere, within His realm, and that whatever may happen, we're confident in the outcome. You see, I think many people are afraid and have fear of this thing because they're afraid of the outcome. They're afraid of the outcome. Because if they do die, what happens? They have a fear of that. Maybe there is a God. Maybe I will have to answer to Him, they could think. And then again, maybe not. But I don't know. So I'm afraid of that. So I want to hang on. But as Christians, we don't have to do that, see? And then the last thing that John says in 1 John 4 there, verses 21 through 21, that guess what? By loving one another, we prove our love for God. But John says, if we don't love one another and we don't show that, he's really blunt. He says, you're a liar. That's what he says. He's not just talking about telling lies. He's talking about falseness of character, of how your life is. So throughout all these things, yes, you know, and we can think that we're in a quandary, and do we practice that or what? You know what they call the social distancing. We should be, don't hug one another, don't shake hands, and be at least 3 to 6 feet away from one another. And I've had friends who are telling their people in the church don't hug, don't shake hands, wave. How are you doing? Smile. And then just let it go at that, you know. But brothers and sisters, we should not give in to those kind of things, to fear. We have nothing to be afraid of. No. If we lead this life, are we confident where we're going to end up? Like Patty says, yes. You see, it's like Paul says, I think it's in Philippians, yes. Whether we live or die is gain to us. Either way, we win. That's the way we need to think. Right? That's the way I think we should think. See? So let's not give in to that. As John said, perfect love casts out fear. That's why He sent His Son. We're going to stand, we're going to sing the chorus, "For God so loved the world." That's what it's all about. See? He showed us so much love that He died for us. So indeed, that we can be in eternity with Him. Let's stand.